This is Looking Forward, conversations about the future of work, brought to you by MillerKnoll.
Hey, listeners. Welcome to Season 3 of MillerKnoll's Looking Forward podcast. I'm Ryan Anderson, Vice President of Global Research and Insights at MillerKnoll, and your host. I'd like to start by giving you a big, sincere thanks for all the positive feedback that we've gotten on Seasons 1 and 2. We've been blown away at the success of Looking Forward and have heard from so many of you, including a lot of organizations who are sharing and discussing the episodes internally, almost like a book club. And that brings us a great deal of joy because, as we often say around here, research exists to be applied. In this season preview, I'd like to take you through a few thoughts, kind of like what I did at the beginning of the last season, just on the state of work today, and give you a sense of where we're headed with the podcast this season. As we enter the summer of 2023, there's still a lot of complexity as to what's occurring in the world of work. You know, the pandemic accelerated so many changes that were already occurring before it began, and many organizations as a result have begun trying out new approaches to supporting the future of work in the last year or two, but most are still in the very early stages of figuring it out. And that's okay, because this is a marathon, not a sprint or a short race, and hey, getting it right matters. But for those of us that pay a lot of attention to the headlines around future of work or around the state of the office, I just want to acknowledge that they can be confusing. On a given day, we might read that some CEOs are questioning the viability of hybrid work policies, while others are experimenting with a four-day work week. Others are talking about significantly reducing their corporate real estate portfolios due to reduced office demand, while others are now enforcing a five-day fully-in-the-office work policy. As a research team, we address these kinds of complexities in several ways, and that entails gaining perspective both by zooming in and taking a closer look at the situation, but also by zooming out and trying to understand the changes currently underway within a broader context. I'll paraphrase the physicist Schrödinger when I say, the goal isn't really to find what no one else has seen, but to think what no one else has thought about that which we're all seeing. So we do so by conducting a wide variety of research, but I'll also say that we gain a great deal of value from the time that my team spends traveling the world to conduct that research, but also to discuss the insights we gain from the research with our customers. In 2022, we visited over 100 global markets, and when I think of the places that my team has visited just in the first half of 2023, a wide variety of locations come to mind that include places that you might expect, like the US, Canada, and the UK, but also places like Serbia, Nigeria, Singapore, Poland, Mexico, South Africa, and a host of other locations. Being on the ground in these places give us a much clearer sense of what is or is not happening in the world. And I can tell you this, the ways that work is changing globally is far more varied, more complex, and more nuanced than what we can gain from the headlines. There are variances within industries, cities, and organizations that bring to mind that old quote from the science fiction writer William Gibson when he said, "The future's already here, it's just not evenly distributed." As it pertains to the use of offices, we visited some markets, Miami and Amsterdam come to my mind, where the offices were teeming with people. This has also been true in many smaller cities in the US and around the world, but in other large cities, the offices seem like ghost towns. In many large cities, and perhaps this is the majority of them, it's a mix. Parts of towns where the neighborhoods are really cool and vibrant, you know, fun restaurants, bars, easily accessible transit, maybe more modern office buildings, they've got offices that are well occupied. While the offices in other older, less desirable, maybe less safe parts of towns are less so. But there is a clear theme that's affecting virtually all of these markets, or more specifically, the organizations in these markets, despite the variability of all these locations. And it's really the demand for great talent. Now, I know it sounds a bit cliche to say that organizations around the world need to attract and retain great talent, but it is true. But more specifically, it's become apparent that any organization focused on the future of work should be asking the question, how can we best equip and enable our existing workforce? It's one thing to retain talent, but it's another thing to enable your existing workforce to achieve its best. While there's no shortage of articles out there about how AI might potentially take all of our jobs, the reality that we've found is that employers in most countries are desperate to find good people for the jobs that they've got. In places like China, Japan, France, Germany, Denmark, the UK, Canada, birth rates have just not kept pace with the job growth. And in the US, we've reached the lowest levels of unemployment that we've had since before we landed a person on the moon. A recent study from the human resource consultancy Korn Ferry estimates that by 2030, which is not really that far off, there will be a global human talent shortage of more than 85 million people, which is roughly equivalent to the population of Germany. Now, when we look to India, which is much younger, and it's now the world's most populous country, key competitive sectors of its economy saw attrition rates of more than 20% in 2022, which is a reminder that keeping talent in a fast-growing economy is in some cases even tougher than finding it. So let's just start season three with the premise that keeping employees and really equipping them to achieve and do more without burning them out and not driving them away to seek other job opportunities, that may be the ultimate future of work priority for most organizations at this point in time and in the future. And how do we do this? And what's the role of the workplace in all of this? Well, for those of you that have already listened to seasons one and two, this won't surprise you, but the majority of changes that have been affecting work and talent for many years, and by the way, this is true of all types of work, not just desk-based office work, they're already known to us, but they've been accelerated. And this season is all about diving more deeply into them. There's a long list of factors that I could just unpack right now to focus on that affect how people really are able to achieve in their roles and whether or not organizations are really able to retain them. But I think for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to hone in on three that are deeply affecting how organizations enable and equip their people. First, work is growing more distributed, meaning it's spreading out across larger geographies. This is a result of globalization and the ways that technology allows organizations to support work in a wider array of places. But let me be clear, this is not synonymous with working remotely. If an organization opens up more locations, more offices, or more warehouses or more retail locations or whatever than it once had, then it becomes more distributed. And this, of course, has been happening for years, but specific to desk-based office work, many organizations seeking more competitive talent have rapidly accelerated their willingness to hire people in a bunch of new locations over the past few years. Consider maybe your own situation. Do you have more colleagues with whom you interact spread across your city or your state, your country, or the world? So whether your organization is fully in office, fully remote, or somewhere in between, chances are you'll still need to get better at managing teams in a broader array of locations than they were in the past. And that's not always easy. Many managers aren't equipped to manage distributed teams, and the health of organizational networks can badly suffer as a result. So as we proceed through this season, be on the lookout for ways of managing distributed talent and ways that our physical workplaces can excel at creating connection. We know from other facets of our lives that being together, whether it's in homes, restaurants, places of worship, parks, and innumerable other locations, it's critical for creating healthy communities. And the role of the workplace to create stronger connections between employees is perhaps more important now than ever. Second, employees are deeply seeking more flexibility. And this is not synonymous with hybrid. As we've discussed extensively in seasons one and two, this is more than just location flexibility. The larger goal here is to enable employees to have greater control over how they work, greater control over their schedule, to ensure that the most important things in their work week get the attention they deserve. Now, this can entail personal demands, such as issues related to caregiving or personal health, but it also entails allowing people to prioritize the most important work activities that they need to do to reach their performance goals. If employees are stuck in a series of lower value work activities that prevent them from doing their most important work, then the employee and the organization suffer. As it pertains to desk-based office-type work, as an example, we know that an over-reliance on video meetings can constrict schedule flexibility, hamper in-office camaraderie, heighten burnout, and lower return-to-office rates. We also know that a lack of flexibility is one of the top reasons why people are likely to seek new jobs. So whether it's through flexible work policies or simply ensuring that you hire empathetic managers who provide employees greater voice and autonomy, flexibility matters. And as it pertains to how the workplace can support greater flexibility, this begins with offering a greater variety of spaces in which to support a wider variety of experiences. That choice provides flexibility. What is sometimes missed, though, is the need for flexibility at a team level. Teams are really the nucleus of future office design, and as teams shift projects or adjust their workflow, it's critical that spaces are designed for change. Some of these changes can happen at a facilities level, but to truly keep pace with the ever-evolving nature of team-based work, offices should deliver greater control to members of those teams seeking a more flexible environment. Third, organizations need to deeply consider how to improve employee well-being. Again, this is something we've talked about in the past, but we want to go deeper into this season. Now, well-being extends to many facets of our physical, cognitive, relational, even financial well-being, but today I really want to focus on the mental and emotional health of our employees. According to a report from the U.S. Surgeon General in late 2022, 76% of U.S. workers report at least one symptom of a mental health condition. 84% say their workplace conditions had contributed to at least one mental health challenge, and 81% of them say they'll be looking for workplaces that support mental health in the future. Beyond the U.S., from our own research conducted in concert with partners such as Boston Consulting Group and Slack, we found that 42% of the 10,000 desk-based workers that we surveyed globally this past winter reported being burned out and were far more likely to be seeking new jobs as a result. In terms of the role of the physical workplace, there's a variety of strategies that can be used to help employees find spaces for respite and restoration within the workplace to help them manage mental and emotional health demands. But as I've already mentioned, the workplace can also be used to create deeper interpersonal connection and foster a greater sense of belonging, which are critical components of overall well-being. Being together in closer community can be powerfully beneficial. So, in all the mess of varying occupancy metrics, quickly shifting return to office policies, competing views about the future of the workplace, and all the other headlines we see, these are some fundamental pillars that were visible before the pandemic, but that remain critical and are foundational for future strategies. Which reminds me to share a thought. At MillerKnoll, we don't believe it's our job to advocate for or prescribe a particular strategy for supporting work, such as hybrid or remote first or fully in the office, to you and your organization. Now, we have customers that are fully in the office, such as life sciences customers who are helping to cure diseases. We also have customers that are fully remote, such as technology companies helping to connect the world in new ways. A majority of our customers probably don't fit any of those labels, but rather vary their approach by function, with some groups like salespeople being mostly remote, others such as engineering being mostly in the office, and they might just adopt the term hybrid. Now, you'll hear many perspectives from our guests on what they see working or not. And we know that you've been asking for more of those perspectives. But what works for one organization may or may not work for another. We all need to dive into this content and try to reach what Oliver Wendell Holmes once referred to as the simplicity on the other side of complexity. Whichever approach works for you will be dependent upon your organization. And we at MillerKnoll are here to help you get this right. This podcast, just like the rest of the ways that we share insights, it's designed to help you and all of us really understand the forces impacting work and to inform you, your team, and your leadership to ensure that your people are working in the most healthy, productive, and impactful ways possible, regardless of their location. And as I've mentioned in past seasons, there's no substitute for engaging your people in the process of reevaluating how they work and what your future workplace needs to do to support their needs. With that, Let's dive into season 3 of Looking Forward, conversations about the future of work.